Just Three Things, Jody Dean and Jocelyn White. And this is kind of fun because regardless of when you might be listening to this podcast, we are recording on a beautiful sunny day at the Dallas Arboretum, because here we are at the start of spring festival season. Dallas Blooms is kicking off, runs all the way through the middle of April. The sound of people having lunch and enjoying the beautiful day, and
pulling
children
up their chairs, and kids giggling and running everywhere.
Children playing in the background as we sip lemonade out on the terrace here at the
cheers, my dear.
Lime. There you go. So this is kind of fun. And if you haven't been to the Arboretum in a long time,
a tasteful place is amazing.
You know, they have the children's area here at the Arboretum, and after we visited that a few years ago, I bought a microscope online that plugs into your laptop with a USB, because they have them in there.
Oh, you're kidding.
And you can look at critters under a handheld microscope and see all kinds of plants and things like that. And so you can actually order those online, and we did. And so Maddie and I will, you know, bring stuff in from the yard and look at it under this handheld microscope, take still pictures. If you have kids who do science projects for school, what an asset that is.
My granddaughter Brooklyn would love that.
See, I got the idea here at the Arboretum.
Yeah?
So, I mean,
cool.
it's a stimulating, inspiring place.
I'm on the board.
Yeah.
And have been. I think I'm going into my fifth year.
Wow.
You get to do 6 years, and I'm going into my fifth. What I love is, though, it is time. The jonquils are already blooming, narcissus, and those are our springtime harbingers. You know, once you see the jonquils, the daffodils, and the narcissus, you know spring is right around the corner.
I love coming up Grand from I-30 into the White Rock Lake area, because you'll see them blooming wild. They're all sprouting up along the golf course there.
Oh,
and they're
there's
scads of them along that road. And so, you know, when you see that, it just means, okay, spring is here.
Yeah.
And sunny days have been so rare this winter. I think I saw Pete Delkus on the news one night say that in January, ordinarily about 38% of the days are cloudy. And this year, 60% plus of the days in January were cloudy. And so it's been kind of a gray winter in a lot of ways.
It has.
Not that cold, but boy, it's been kind of dismal in a lot of ways.
It has. Yep. You know, a friend of mine, we had to write haiku back in high school.
Oh,
did you ever have to write haiku?
Oh, Lord, yes.
And so I still remember his. Spring has sprung. The grass has riz. I wonder where them flowers is.
Yeah, no kidding.
At.
Yeah.
So, and that's Dr. Bob Walton, I might add.
You know, we love to attend the local good market, and they have those all over town. But that also fires up here in a few weeks, along with, oh gosh, I can't even begin to list all the spring festivals. There's actually a website that you can visit, and it's festivalsoftexas.com.
Right.
I think. I'll put the actual link on the page associated with this podcast. But if you go to Festivals of Texas, or even Google that, you can click on regions, and they'll give you festivals.
Texas Highways will do that too.
Yeah, and it's the greatest asset, because it goes every, you know, all the way from Dallas Blooms through Bob Phillips Texas Country Reporter Festival in Waxahachie, Mayfest.
Right.
All of them. So if you love doing that, if you love going to festivals, and we do, or art shows or outdoor
anything
exhibits,
where you could be outside. I mean, my daddy always called me his yard bird.
You know,
I love to be outside.
Speaking of exhibits, I have not yet been to the Dallas Holocaust Museum. I've heard such great things about it, but then I haven't been to the Bush Museum either. I am so embarrassed to admit that.
Oh, that is a great museum, and I've done quite a few presidential museums.
Yeah.
I find them fascinating, you know. But the Bush is really good, and that chunk of one of the Twin Towers will just stab you in the heart.
I wonder when they designed it, surely they must have thought this through, but when you're coming along Central Expressway and you see it over the hill, it looks like the Parthenon sitting up above the city, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they had to think of that, because it does give that real stately appearance. But this is a wonderful time. If you're new to Dallas-Fort Worth, or even if you've lived here your whole life,
and you haven't been,
and you haven't been exploring, there's so much stuff to see and do. I asked a fellow the other day that I know, whom I know, is from Tarrant County. And I said, do you know where the only natural waterfall is in Tarrant County? And he didn't know there was one. Airfield Falls, it used to be on the property of what was then Carswell Air Force Base.
Right.
Now the Joint Reserve Base.
Yeah.
And it's actually at the Trinity Railhead. So you can drive up, park, and walk just a few hundred yards, and all of a sudden you're in this amazing natural setting with this limestone waterfall. It's the only natural waterfall in Tarrant County, and it's gorgeous.
That's amazing. I had no idea.
Most people don't even know it's there. So, you know, this is a great time of year to get out and do stuff and get a little color in your skin again.
Yeah, hallelujah, fun? Please. Yep. So today we've got robin's egg blue skies.
I know. So what do you have on your list?
Oh,
I'm getting a sip of lemonade.
Okay. The changing face of media, because we've both been in the business since we were teenagers.
You must have read my tweet.
I didn't.
Weekend television, that period of time when you have to endure horrible grammar.
Yes.
A total lack of awareness of the local landscape.
And we're talking about TV news.
Overdone personality in an effort to compensate, and over-talking just to get a kernel of news. And it all goes back to training and mentorship and direction, none of which exists in broadcast media now.
And the fact that TV news stations used to care about their local presence in the community. Very few do anymore because they're huge corporations and they're looking at the bottom line, and they don't care about paying the best talent. They want the cheapest they can get, and they think if they build them up that we're going to buy into the fact that they're ready for prime time when they're not.
Little inside baseball here. You and I came from an age when you would give directions by saying, the florist shop across from the Texaco at the corner of Preston and Royal.
Exactly.
As localizing as it is, and as telling as it is that you know where you live, you got to know the territory. You don't need to do it anymore because nobody enters that in
Google. The Google Maps don't write it that way.
They want the address.
want the address.
If you're telling your GPS where to find something, you've got to know the address. So, you know, I'll give people that. But because of that, there's a tendency to know where you live less. I heard somebody refer to North Central Expressway as North Central Texas Expressway, I-75.
Right.
It's not Interstate 75.
It's not.
It's U.S. 75.
And get some of the little things right. I remember when I moved here to be the first weather girl back in the day.
When we called them weather girls.
When we called them weather girls instead of weather persons or people or whatever. I was just happy to be here and glad to have a job in one of the largest markets in the country coming from Little Rock.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I had to learn, and fast, was how to pronounce local names.
Oh my gosh,
because B-E-X-A-R isn't Bexar, it's Bexar County.
Well, if you don't know how to pronounce the name, you just told everybody you don't know where you live, and if I don't know where I live, how can you trust anything else I say?
Well, and not just that, it's the perspective. You know, one of the things that I used to love about local newsrooms, and I'm talking all of the major four, is that they had always someone on the assignment desk, or they had an anchor who had been here long enough to be able to put the news in perspective for you.
To know where the bodies were buried.
They knew who Danny Faulkner was way back in the day, and they knew the great stories about Dallas and Fort Worth, and there are so few of those now.
But you know, the 400 people who
and they move, don't bother to look it up either.
The 400 people who move here each week may not know and may not care.
They may not.
Even if those 400 don't know or don't care, if you're doing a story that affects their lives, it's important that you know and care so that you can give those folks who might be Dallas Fort Worthians by choice some context.
Exactly.
You know, as you mentioned, Danny Faulkner, if you don't remember the name, that was the 1980s SNL disaster. He had the I-30 condo scheme. It actually caused the dominoes to fall, and we wound up in a recession as a result.
It had a catastrophic effect on Texas and the rest of the United States.
And the rest of the United States.
Because Texas was leading.
And so if you're doing a story on financial troubles or banking bubbles or anything like that, it's important that you know that so that you can say, well, this has happened before, or something along those lines.
You know, you don't have to know everything, but it's so good to have someone who has perspective.
Yeah.
And there are quite a few places now where there is no one who understands not just the social structure
and it's not hard
or the
to
business structure. I mean, my advice to those folks who come here and still do care about being journalists: talk to the locals.
Yeah.
Learn how to pronounce the names. Please, God, learn how to pronounce the names, particularly if you do the weather or you're doing the news. Good grammar helps.
If you hear Waxahachie or Mesquite, then you probably aren't doing your homework.
Lancaster and Lancaster.
Exactly. I use that example all the time. In Fort Worth, the street is Lancaster. In Dallas, Lancaster.
The little town.
Yeah.
It's Lancaster. So there you go. I mean, I had to learn all that. They should learn it, too. When I hear someone who's been here a year making the same mistakes over and over, you kind of want to go, is no one telling you that you're doing it incorrectly?
And chances are they aren't. Chances are the news director or the ops manager or the program director isn't even awake that hour of the morning, because you and I both work for people where if you made a mistake, the phone rang within 30 seconds of turning off the mic or going to commercial break.
I had news directors who did that, and of course when I worked with Ron Chapman at KVIL.
Oh Lord, yeah.
I mean, you and I both know that.
Or Marty Haig.
Or any of those folks. Yeah. They were on top, and they made us good at our game because we were on top.
Exactly.
And
right.
I just want people to care.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, it's okay if I mispronounce it. You know what I'm talking about.
I think that is the attitude. I think it's like, well, we really don't care anyway because we want engagements on social media.
You made almost spit my lemonade out.
I know.
That is what they do.
Yeah.
It's all about, it's
likes
not
and
about,
shares. Likes and shares.
It has nothing to do with knowledge and accuracy. It's
Listen,
likes and shares.
And it's not just broadcast media. I mean, you know how many podcasts are out there. In 2019, podcasting was a $500 million business. In 2020, it's a $1 billion business. Next year, it'll be $2 billion. If smart speaker improvements continue, it'll be $4 and $5 billion.
Right.
It's an exploding. If your business doesn't have a podcast, you may not be around in 3 to 5 years. And that's not a joke. But you hear so many podcasts out there that are awful. And they have no direction. And I've done a couple of tests with people, and it's like, okay, what's your exit ramp? Where do you want to get out? What's your point? What do you want to say? Oh, we're just going to talk for a while. No.
No, you have to. It's like we come with our three things.
Right.
Now, as everyone knows who's ever listened to us, Jody and I can jump all over the map. We can talk about a lot more than three things. But you and I even realized we had to have some kind of way to condense.
Well,
the information that we amass every day, because once a reporter or a journalist,
you will be what you've been trained to be.
Exactly.
And partly who trained you to be that way.
Right.
And so if people are getting no training, and I was going to bring up briefly the Oscars ratings, and everybody said, oh, they're the lowest in history, they were down over last year. Let me give you a little number that may give some insight as to why that is. Number one, time-shifted viewing. People will watch highlights on YouTube the next morning and say, I watched the show. No.
And they feel like they did.
And they feel
they
like
did
they did.
It. There's
but
things they missed.
Or they'll watch on DVR several days later, and that's called time-shifted viewing. But here's a number that really jumped out at me. In 2018, network penetration among all television viewers, about 120 million TV households in the United States, was 91%. This year, it's 83%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that fewer people are watching, it's that the network programming's penetrating less far.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Well, that leads me to one of my three things today. We just cut the cord.
Mm-hmm.
We just cut the cord after being with cable for I don't know how long.
Yep.
We just went with YouTube TV. And why did we do it? Well, we got tired of spending $250 a month. And we liked the idea of spending $49 a month instead. Why wouldn't you?
And the great thing about it is we'll all end up the winners, because they're going to compete against one another until we have greater and greater technology or lesser a price to pay.
Well, and if, you know, there are more outlets where you can get content, that's always going to drive it. But you do wonder, what does that do to the entertainment industry's model?
Yeah.
I can tell you what it did to the music industry's model.
Oh, changed that big time.
And so, we cut the cord. And I literally had to call my kids and a friend of mine, we both know Alan Free, who produced Ron Chapman's show for years, and he was with Broadcast.com for a while, and I said, I'm having cord-cutting anxiety right now. I'm having a panic attack, and I had to learn to use a different remote and that sort of thing, but I can't believe we actually did that. We did it. We're actually part of the 21st century. I'm so proud of us.
You know, you're talking big. There's a huge change on the landscape that not everyone is aware of, but it will be making itself known. Probably within a year, there will be a newscast on the CW33, and there will be a national newscast, and here's the reason why. Our local CW33 was bought by Nexstar,
right,
which is now the largest privately held conglomerate of stations in the United States. They have 190 stations in 140 markets. That's huge. They bought Tribune. They're going to make the station here their flagship station. So we're going to see a lot of change on the local landscape. When someone comes in and kicks up that much of a fuss, and they're going to bring their own stamp and their own, frankly, syndication capabilities,
right,
because
right.
they're a huge venue. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and shakes up the market status quo.
You have to ask, how will they incorporate that into the ways people consume content now? Because mm-hmm. as you and I both know, the idea that folks sit down and watch the 6 o'clock news is very 20th century.
They have to be savvy about DVRing and all of that. However, they're also very savvy about social media, because Nexstar owns ABC, NBC, CBS affiliates, and they also have more independents like the CW.
Right.
Here it just happens to be the CW. But they have lots of social media that's kind of at the tip of the iceberg. The reason why I know is I'm moving my TV show.
Oh, really?
To CW33. It starts, we're on hiatus right now, but Designing Texas starts March 8th.
If you've never seen...
At 9:30 on Sunday morning.
You can find episodes online of Designing Texas. You were way ahead of the curve when you were going in people's homes and looking at stuff. Chip and Joanna owe their success to you, among others.
I have to think maybe they watched the show.
We're all nosy and we want to peek in other people's closets, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, people will sometimes say to me, that's all fluff. And
we
I want to go,
fluff.
Well, that's what I say. I say, and I'm darn proud
yeah,
of it.
Yeah,
that's fluff for fun.
We have enough razor blades and saw edges.
Please.
Fluff is not a bad thing. We used to call it, in one previous broadcast incarnation, murine.
Mm-hmm.
We need something to get the red out of our eyes.
Yes.
And so that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank
I'm
you.
Glad to hear that.
And so that's why I've been paying special attention
yeah.
to what's going on at the various TV stations, because I was looking to move my show,
yeah.
trying to figure out where I wanted it to go. Sunday morning is a perfect time. And on the CW, while they don't have a newscast yet, they have a Texas block of shows on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
They have a bucket list show. They have a show called YOLO. They have Texas politics. And so, because we're the only home and garden show
well,
in
we'll
Texas,
we'll have to do this show at
there.
Some point from your studios
there
at
you go.
CW33. Did you see the story about the $5 million TV station that the city of Dallas built in Fair Park, and they don't quite know what to do with it? And they need some equipment, and they said about $6 million. Truth is, they probably equip it for about $1.5 million. There is an organization that works with inner city kids mostly called the Marcus Graham Project. And I started
I'm
reading
not familiar.
About that. I wasn't either. And they have an idea of how to use that. And, you know, anybody who's been in broadcasting for 5 minutes would look at something like that and think, promotional tool for City of Dallas, wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow. Well, not only could it be that, but the Marcus Graham Project wants to use, or is interested in using, a facility like that to teach young inner city creators not only audio and video, but film and podcasting and that sort of thing. And it's right there in Science Place too. And so I thought, what an incredible incubator something like that would be. Now, that was originally the idea that some folks had along the way, some people who'd been in the media.
Right.
But, you know, unless you have the passion for something like that, you're always having to kind of push it forward, and it can get really tiresome at times, trying to convince city leaders and bureaucrats and
Let
politicians.
Me point out something.
But what an opportunity that would be for an organization like the Marcus Graham Project.
What I love to listen to is that same kind of experiment done on the radio and done really very well
KXT?
At KEOM.
KEOM, you know.
In Mesquite. I listen to those kids and I kind of think, I wish they'd come let me talk to them and tell them how to not sound like they're reading stuff. But nonetheless.
That's a hard lesson to learn.
That's a hard lesson to learn. But I listen to them and I'm so proud, because you know, a lot of those kids probably never have spoken in public. They're probably the shyest ones to get up in front of the class.
I will tell you, you know.
And they do some creative things.
In teaching at Paul Quinn, which has been the most rewarding thing I've done in my life, I've worked with some kids who would be very self-condemning. Oh, I have a speech impediment, or I'm not a very good speaker. And those were the ones that I enjoyed working with most. And, you know, I would tell them the same thing. It's not about how you sound. It's what you have to say. We're out of time.
Of course we are.
What's the web address? DallasArboretum.org.
Yes.
Dallas Blooms, 28th of February.
April 12th. And it's called this year, The Sounds of Spring.
Oh, gee.
Indeed.
You may have heard some of those here behind us, somebody over there. And may I say, by the way, that the Terrace Restaurant here at Gate 1?
Yes.
If you have never dined overlooking White Rock Lake, looking across the water toward the city skyline, this is one of the best views in the city, and the food is delicious.
Kind of a romantic place.
Isn't it?
You can bring Fiona.
Don't you think I have?
Uh-huh.
You know, and we bring Maddie a lot. And
it's just gorgeous.
I insist on eating here when we come, although you can bring a picnic. We've done that,
sure,
too. We'll find a little quiet glen in the back someplace next to a fountain, and we'll spread the blanket.
And that's the beauty of this park. Even on a day like today when there are so many people who are out, it still doesn't feel crowded.
This is one of the great treasures of the area, not just the city of Dallas.
No.
But what is the admission here? $13?
Something like that.
For an adult, $13. And if you're a kid, it's cheaper. And if you're a senior, it's free. And I mean, it is, if you've not been to...
It's worth it, whatever it is. You can come spend an entire day.
Yeah, yeah, you really can. And just seeing the young 15-year-old girls around in their gowns for the quinceanera.
Yes, I mean, and brides.
Easily on a day like this, you'll see young couples having their photos taken. It's
pretty.
Just a cool place. So yeah, here we are at the start of spring festival season, or more importantly, nearly the start of spring. So this has been fun, and this has
it
been
has.
Just Three Things.